This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning into Enterprise. We're kicking off the week with another episode of Failing Forward on Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj. Now, for first timers, Failing Forward is a new series on Open for Business that shines the spotlight on different entrepreneurs and the failures that made them bigger, better, and stronger. And to do this with me, as usual, we have the lovely CEO and Chief Explorer at Proficio, Renuka Sena. Hi, Renu.
Hi, Audrey.
Proficio, of course, designs and conducts coaching programs for entrepreneurs, and their programs are C-level intervention programs designed specifically to propel startups into scale-ups. And the entrepreneur in the spotlight today is Jusri Ong, Managing Director of Telecontinent, and we are going to be talking about cash flow management. Now, just before we dive into the issue proper, Jusri, maybe you can tell us a bit about Telecontinent and what you do.
Hi, Audrey. Hi. My name is Jusri Ong. And I'm the Managing Director of Telecontinent Seren Berhad. Telecontinent is a global business services, a GBS company in Malaysia, focusing on business process outsourcing services, established on the 5th of December 2011. As of now, we have about 500 staff across Klang Valley in the 7 premises that we have, servicing 11 clientele, covering Singapore, Malaysia, Brunei and US markets. Our unique selling propositions compared to the big boys out there is we are focusing mainly on the Mandarin-speaking language in our contact center services. Yeah.
All right. And so it sounds like you've grown the company quite a bit from 2011 to where it is right now. But it wasn't always, like, success wasn't always the case, was it?
Because it is.
What I understand is 2013 was make or break. You had some tough decisions to make. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, 2013 will always be remembered in my heart. Deep down inside, I would never forget that. Indeed, the company established in the year 2011. It was a very colourful journey for us from 2011. And we were actually going very strongly from the moment we start off and until the time where we actually able to fill up the whole first centre of our contact centre services. And that's where comes the point of time where you decide that, okay, you start our first experience of being an entrepreneur with my other founders and members. And then we figure out that, not bad. I mean, you can really make it, you know, in our first attempt of being an entrepreneur. And we managed to fill out the seat. And then the next in line, we have an order put on the table to say that I have an order for you. But if you don't have any more space, I got to pass this order to someone else. Mm. So we take on that particular decision to say that if we're not going to be passing on that opportunity to another person because we want to grab it ourselves. Being this, at a situation where all our seats at that point of time already filled up, we have to make a decision of going to expand to a new premise. So we made the decision to go to a new place, set up about 100-seater workstations, equip that with all the technology, infrastructure, and whatever hardware and software you can name it, spend quite a lot of money on the investment. And after all those has been done, surprise comes in, that order didn't really make it.
So that contract tak jadi?
Contract tak jadi. Mm.
So,
but the facility already ready. So the contract tak jadi. So in that particular instance, we have a center we're already running at full capacity. So we have to use one center to cover for two centers' cost. And we were holding on to that, hoping that we can actually fill up that particular new site with new project. But it's quite tough. It's not like you want to get new project, you can just get it on the spot like that. Mm. So if we hold on to it for quite a few months until the extent that our cash flow is running thin. Being a new company, you know, startup, you want to really impress the market, new kids on the block. Whatever that we spend in our first premise is all like Google type of environment. You're trying to win the heart of the millennials. You're trying to attract the best talent. You want to get the nice client. So you got to spend a little bit. That's our mentality. You got to be, you know, you got to be up there with among the big boys. But when reality hits you, and you look at your pockets, you look at your bank account, that's not what you really have. Mm. Then you really kind of make a choice. At one interval, we were really considering of shutting down. We talk among ourselves. We say, guys, we are here where we are right now. We started this journey. You know, we walked through a few years from 2011 up to 2013. Maybe it's time to, you know, call it a day. But I'm not at a point of time to say game over because I'm in a situation where to start up this company, I actually get a strong assistance, financial assistance from my family members. If I were to agree on the decisions of shutting down, I will have to face them, and that's not going to be nice, you know. So
it's worse than investors.
Exactly. I mean, that because the family bond is there, and they put the trust on you, you got to make it happen. So when at that moment of time, despite the decisions, with majority is to shut down the company, I have to hold on to it. So the decision is we consolidate the company. I have to make a few initiatives to actually talk to our suppliers and our vendor. I have to be very upfront to them, say that this is the situation that I'm in right now. I have cash flow issues. I can't be able to make all the payments at one go. You know, being when you're new in the market, reputation is very important.
Yeah.
So at that point of time, you always want to make sure you pay the bills on time, mm-hmm. even before the due dates. But at that moment, all of a sudden, you realize that you can't do that anymore. So it doesn't hit you that you can actually manage your cash flow in a different way, because we were trying to keep up all the bills before due dates, and we were so nervous when we can't pay the bills, and when somebody called us, we got freaked out. At that point of time, it's like really your pride is secondary.
Mm.
Okay, it's really about survival. Okay, so you got to really be sincere. You got to be bold. You got to be really front those suppliers and vendor and tell them that your situation, hoping and expecting them to really understand. But you can't expect everyone to understand where you're coming from. But we're lucky enough that the strategy that we put forward is this is not the end of the game. But we need their support so that we can continue this journey. And the assurance given to them here is, as we move down this particular journey, we would want them to be together with us. Any expansion, we will always have them in mind. So what we have done is we actually renegotiated the payment term with them. We prolonged some payment because not everything needs to be paid right on the dot.
Right, right.
You can split the payment. You can stagger it into a few month installment. You can even convert it into profit sharing as well. And we also talked to the staff. There were months where we can't even pay salary to the staff, and that's really freak out because...
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking about. I mean, it's one thing about the your external partners, but what about your partners in the business? And of course, staff, you're dealing with a call center. You have mouths to feed.
Yes.
How did you speak to them and get them on board with your plan?
Yeah. So when we set up this company, there were four of us. When we reconsolidated this company, the three of them left the company. So
your partners left your...
Yeah, because at that point of time, when we reconsolidate the company, we only left with 10 headcount. Mm. So to have four... directors in the company only with that number of staff, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, right? So because of the commitment that I have towards my family members to really maintain this investment, I held on to it. And there were months where we were unable to pay the staff salary, and I have to front the client. Really, you can't run away. So you got to face them and you tell them that hope that they will understand. The last thing the staff want to know is that you do not want them to think that you're doing something fishy behind. Okay, so I'm very open to the staff. I upfront tell them that this is how we're going to pay your salary. We actually hold some commission incentive. But eventually, they understand and they continue fight on. And those staff that were with us, the company that time, they're still with us until now. Mm. And I thank God that they actually they continue to climb up the ladder from agent level. Now they move up to team leader and also manager level.
Yeah. Nice. Renu, you know, what was the core coaching areas that the coaches had to work with Jusri and Telecontinent to fix?
Well, when Jusri came in, this consolidation, you know, had not started yet. I think he was still at the point in time where the high was, I've got this new client and I'm in the process of getting this new center, and it's, you know, sky's the limit, basically.
Mm.
And literally, you know, sort of third coaching session into the program, I remember the coaches calling me and said, this guy's in trouble. He's looking at shutting down. He wants to leave the program. He's not really sure what to do. And I was in shock because the pitch for the application, he was on a high. The business was about to take off, essentially. So we sat down with the coaches and him, because, you know, he was solo by then, to sit and talk about, look, if it's a decision about closing down because you're bleeding, or is it a decision about trying to find whether there is some core competency that you can still sell to carry on business.
Mm.
And that, you know, that kind of soul searching takes a lot. And for the coaching sessions, I remember a lot of times we talk about things like, so what do you do better than, you know, others out there? Why did you start the business? Because he was in the call center business before and decided to come out because there was something wrong. So, you know, going back to why did we start this in the first place? And part of that exercise was really even looking at the current customers that he had and looking to see which ones were profitable, which ones had good margins, which ones were not so core, but, you know, were taken on just because they were paying money. And, you know, part of the decisions that he was making was, okay, so if I have a smaller team now, I really have to focus on what is my core strength. But he was struggling with what was that core strength. The light bulb moment, I think, came because when he went back to speak to some of the customers to find out what did they think was his core strengths, what did they like, it was very clear, basically, that some were just looking at whoever can give me the best price is the type of call center that I'm going to be with. And those to him were not the sort of clients that he should be dealing with, because they would, you know, the moment someone else gave them a better price, they would jump.
They would jump.
Yeah. So,
But for me, I'm just thinking that when you're in that position where you're bleeding, can you afford to reject money that's coming in?
I think that's a very good question. But if your clients are not the right type of clients who will stay with you, you actually have to do that. Mm. And Justine's not the only one that I've seen things like that happen. Sometimes when you look at your customer base, it's very, very important to actually segment them into who are the best customers, easy to sell to, providing big value because you're solving a pain or a problem, and they want to deal with you because you're the only one that's giving them what they need, versus the type of customer who's going to be difficult to get, difficult to please, low margin, and who would, you know, there's no loyalty. They would basically jump. And his projects were, you know, fairly large projects. So if they jumped, it would be a huge difference to his cash flow. And so although it was a difficult decision, in order to grow with and having the small team now that he had, he had to actually look at who was the highest value customer. And that's when really he came across this one particular client who was open enough to share what were their problems. And that's where, you know, Jushri probably can tell you a little bit more about that. But that's where really he kind of chanced upon what is his now core competency.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a quick break for a breather right now, but that is an excellent teaser. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Jushri about how he got that feedback from his customers that helped Telecontinent become the company that it is today. Also, tips on making the right decisions when you're faced with the ultimate ultimatum: close down or stay in business. Failing Forward on Open for Business. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Because friends matter. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Failing Forward on Open for Business, where we feature real-life stories from entrepreneurs who have failed and are stronger for it. I'm Audrey Raj, Renuka Sena from Proficio, and Jushri Ong from Telecontinent are with me in the studio today, and we're discussing cash flow management. So before the break, we were talking about coming to that crunch time in an entrepreneur's life or business when you are faced with possibly the toughest question you'll ever have to answer. Is it time to call it quits? We'll discuss more about that in just a bit. But Jushri, you know, you were just about to tell us about the feedback that you had to get from customers that helped you, that helped Telecontinent build its USP. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, thank you, Audrey. But just to share, that particular moment, the experience was so overwhelmed that the important thing here is we need to make a decision to close down or to continue the survival. And when we decided, I basically, with the four founders at that time, left me alone to continue this journey. The decision is always confirmed that has to go forward. And the primary reason is because of the family support that I gained, and I cannot feel that trust that I've gained from my family members. So next come is, what do you do about it? Okay, so then you have, at that point of time, you have all those decisions right in front of you. You have the bills that you need to pay, you have the staff that you need to pay the salary, and you have the family members that's waiting and who put all the trust on you. And you have the client that anticipating the outcome based on the decision that they made when they outsource this project for you. At that point of time, we have about 4 or 5 projects. Okay, and knowing the current knowing the situation that I encountered at that time, I have to make a decision that to reduce costs, okay? Because I have to make a decision that to ensure that the company can continue to survive, and whatever project that will not going to give a good return will have to be removed at that point of time. Not because we're trying to be picky, but because we have to make a decision to stay alive and to survive. And after all that decision has been done, we left with only one particular client. And this client is from a Singapore telco company, the biggest in Singapore. And so I went to them again, hoping that they would understand the situation that we face in the company in Telecontinent. I told them very frankly, you're my only client right now. And I have only 10 agents left to service for your project. I can totally understand if you would like to make the same decisions of parting on our business decision because of your fear and your concern about the current condition that the company is facing. And we will move on if it's whatever decision that they make. And I'm very blessed that the decision from them, the client, this Singapore telco company, say that they trust the company, they trust me, and they continue to engage the business relationship with us. And beyond that, they also guide us in terms of how to make the operation to provide a better result. And but during that particular engagement, it also very meaningful because that's the starting point and turnaround point of where we are right now. Understanding their pain point is what really matters most for me at that point of time because I only have them as my single most valuable client. So if I can't do a job well for them, right, I will be very bad. I don't even need to be in this business anymore. Right. So at that point of time, I understand that their pain point is to have Mandarin-speaking service provider to provide the services for them, their customer, the Mandarin-speaking segment customer in Singapore. At that point of time, they already have 2 service providers in the Philippines, okay, but they're mainly in English-speaking language. So I come in providing a different scope of skill to service their customer using Mandarin-speaking, who their customer feel more comfortable with. And given about 1 year time, we're able to turn around the result, and the expansion started from there, from 10 to 20, and to where we are right now having... they are right now the biggest client that we have in Telecontinent. So, and I always value and cherish this relationship with them to the extent that they even downsize the Philippines operation, the service provider in the Philippines, and expand the operation in Malaysia. So it's really Malaysia bully, I would like to say that. And so from there onwards, that become our successful showcase story. And we decided that to have a decision to continue to walk down the line in this industry, I have to be different from the big boys out there. I can't fight them head on head using financial strength. So what is my unique selling proposition? Based on that relationship that and the discussion that I have with the client, it is the Mandarin speaking. Because in the contact center industry in Malaysia, majority of those are either English speaking or Bahasa speaking. You hardly find any Mandarin speaking a majority, and about 65% of our staff strength able to converse Mandarin speaking, regardless of whatever races, but it's really about the language. Okay, and from there onwards, all the new clients that we're actually able to close the deal are more or less focusing on that same unique selling proposition that we actually try on.
So now, Renu, this whole make or break kind of situation that Jusri was in, it's not just unique to Jusri and Telecontinent. Many entrepreneurs will have to ask themselves this question in their business life cycle, right? What kind of things or what kind of factors do they have to think about when deciding whether to close down or stay in business? Now, I know that it's tough to answer this question without specific details about the business or its state, or the issues that these businesses are facing. But in general, is there anything in particular that businesses need to weigh on before making that make or break decision?
Actually, businesses or scale-ups that are at that point in time are actually my favorite stage of growth. The reason being that many of them would have been in business for 1 to 2 years. They would have invested a lot of time, a lot of money. also, to a large extent, set aside family time just to focus on the business. And a lot of the times in the first couple of years, it's always about avoiding the so-called valley of death, you know. And so in those situations, like what you mentioned just now, any customer that's willing to pay is a customer that I'm going to take. And that's really where the mistake is. I think that businesses in the early stage, their so-called startup stage, first couple of years, yes, you got to take any customer that's willing to give you the business, because you learn from them. You learn your strengths, you learn what the value you provide, as well as you learn, you know, what the market is willing to accept in terms of pricing. So it's a lot of testing. Mm. But in order to scale up, and that scale up stage literally could also be, do I shut down? Do I continue? And if I do continue, what's my direction? And that's where the so-called Pareto principle or the 80-20 rule comes in. We found this time and again when we ask a scale up, so which customers are your best customers? They would never have actually done this analysis, but it's required, you know, from a cash flow perspective. Number one, in a sense of, so how easy was it to actually close this customer, the so-called pitch to closing time frame? Mm. If it was fast, you know you're providing value. If it was a long time, then something's not right, or the pain was not big enough for the customer that they would need to make a decision immediately that I need this guy because he's solving my problem.
Right.
Second is, you know, at what price point were they willing to pay? The ones who continuously negotiate you down, you've got to look at, again, was it the customer? Is it the price point? Or is it that the pain was not big enough? Or their business is such that margins make a big difference to them.
Mm.
So when you analyze this customer base that you have, you will always find time and again that 20% of your customers actually account for 80% of your business revenue.
Mm.
You know, and this Pareto principle applies across the board to all sorts of industries. And so just like Jusri did, he had to find who that 20% was, understand what it is that he provided to them, and then build on that. And that there's an initial period where it's going to be tough, because you would have had to let go of customers or not focus anymore on getting any business that you can get, and, you know, just focus on your 20%, so to speak. But once you've hit that sweet spot of understanding the 20%, that's when the initial hockey stick scale up starts to happen, you know. And I think, you know, that's exactly what Jusri experienced.
Yeah. From 2013, it took us about close to 2 years to really find our footprint again. And from 2015 onwards is really where we see the growth start to happen in the company. And during this period of time, that 2 years is really about finding what is your unique selling proposition and the value that you can contribute to your client. Because if you just want to make up the numbers to be in the industry, eventually you'll be phased out.
Mm.
So on that basis, and I think I just want to share that many entrepreneurs believe that profit is what really matters most in a new enterprise. Profit is secondary. Cash flow is really what matters most. Because you can make a lot of money, but it will not solve your problem if cash flow management is your problem. So yeah, that's really what I would like to mention. And that's really indeed, I have a lot of good decisions that I can make. I can there are projects that I can take on. There are good deals that I can actually decide, but I can't take everything on board on the plate. But if I do have the cash flow problem at that point of time, because it's really not about beggars cannot be choosy, but you really need to make a decision that really will have high impact to the organization. That, you know, when it comes to you, you have an A and B client to choose. You can't say that I want both, because if you want both, yes, the price is I have two projects I can close, but if you can't really manage these two, you eventually will lose both of them instead of focusing one.
Exactly.
So that point of time is really about deciding to downsize the project, downsize the company to concentrate to about only 10 headcount, but you really have to deliver so well that the client would know that you are the preferred partners of choice, and from there you grow back again. And it took us about 1 year plus 2 years to really be where we are right now. And they are right now the biggest client that we have in our organizations, and they continue to give us very, very strong support.
Thank you for sharing that, Jusri. Okay, now on Failing Forward, we always like to come back to one of Renu's favorite topics, metrics. Is that single number that you care the most about at the current stage of your business, which is essential to your business basically defining success, right? Renu, what was Telecontinent's one metric that mattered?
Actually, in Jusri's case, I actually learned this metric from him. As opposed to the other way around. Because when we talked about, you know, what are the key things that he should be measuring, and he said to me, I need to measure revenue per seat. Because he was running, you know, a call center. So every person who's sitting there providing the services essentially needs to be not just earning his keep, but earning more than his keep. And before you take on, so that revenue per seat as a metric basically helps him make his decisions about the type of customers that he can take on, the volume of service that they require, how much time will they take up of a single person in that seat, and can that person make up for what it is. So it's not just the seat, it's also literally the space, because you know, a call center is space, so you're filling them with seats. So one, it is revenue per seat. Two, it was revenue per center, because before you can make a decision, when is the right time for me to set up a new center, especially Jusri having held this whole set up a center without getting the client, it was even more important to him that those decisions were made at the right time.
Yeah. All right. So Jusri, what do you look at before opening a new center? What is the like revenue per center needs to be? You know, how do you gauge in order to make that decision?
I think the very first important decision that you have to be sure is, do you really have a concrete firm contract in hand? You cannot go and expand to a new center just for the sake of being, want to be popular, want to have that fame in the market, and want to, you know, announce to the public that you are growing in size, you have new centers, this and that. All those popular stuff doesn't really pay anything in the end. And in negotiating contracts, you really have to ensure that what is the because we do a lot of customization for our client, and we actually open center based on the requirement. You can choose whether the client would have what type of budget, what type of system requirement. So if let's say the client would like to have a certain requirement that would in MSC status area, they would, you would cater for that particular client in the center or location. On that basis, but then your pricing has to be very clear to them. You can't be charging the same for you know, MSC area with a non-MSC area, because that will really
affect your margins.
That's right. And the other thing is also be very prudent in terms of how you spend your technology. Many big companies, they always put a lot of emphasis about the type or the brand of solution that they actually have. But to Telecontinent, we do not have any exclusivity in terms of which partner that we actually work with. As long as the function and the features are there, providing the end result, we work with them very closely. And we actually work with them as a partner that we customize solution for our client. The big brands are there because you are paying the brands for some money. So you're paying for something that may not really have significant return back to you. But so it doesn't really matter if you're going to be working with a relatively small technology partner, provided that they're able to give you the right result as well. And on that basis, you're able to manage your cash flow. Because if you still want to hold on to the pride that, oh, I only work with the big boys, the big brands, you know, my partners are all those established brands out there. But then you're hurting your pockets, you're hurting your bottom line. In the end, it still doesn't make any sense.
All right. And just before we go, Jusri, what's next for Telecontinent? What are the plans for the business moving forward now that, you know, you've got the whole cash flow management thing down pat?
I think what's next for Telecontinent is very clear cut, that in this business process outsourcing, global business services industry, the single word is digitalization. I think we are going ahead to see more and more initiative about automation, about robotic process automation, AI, omni-channel. That's where the direction is going to go ahead. Go forward, and we are not to say that we are replacing human with bots. not to say that we are moving away from using our agent, replacing that with machines, but they're actually complementing each other. Mm. So we are putting investment into automation, we're putting investment into omnichannel, as well as our robotic process automation with the right partners. Then we're going to give this value back to our client, either organically or inorganically, to grow the company into the future.
Must fill you with great pride to see Jusri and Telecontinent's growth over the years, right?
You know? Not just fills me with pride, but I think him as a person to make the decision that I'm going to stick with this, I'm going to be true to my word and not let people down who have trusted me. And even within that 1 year, so month one, he was on a high. Month three, he was going to close down. Month five and six, he was talking to this, big client. By month 10, what we were talking about, because, by then he was so excited about this whole USP of Mandarin speaking. Then I was like, Jusri, think China. So that was the horizon that we were, hoping to achieve. Very, very proud.
Yeah, I would like to say that I really thank you for all the people who have actually helped me as a person as well as the company. Without them, we will be nobody today. And perhaps the 2013 shutdown decision may even be real. So, but because of the support and not want to fill them down and also to be focused on the cash flow management, that's really a deciding point to be where we are right now for Telecontinent. It's really about bringing you further.
All right. On that note, thank you, Jusri and Renu, for joining us today. For more information on Telecontinent, where can our listeners go? Is there a website we can direct our listeners to?
Our URL is www.telecontinent.com.my.
All right. And for more information on Proficio and their programs, their website is proficio.com. That's proficio.com. Reno will be back again the same time next month, the second Monday of every month, with another case study on failing forward. Till then, on behalf of Renuka Sena from Proficio and Jusri Ong from Telecontinent, my name is Audrey Raj. Thank you for listening to Failing Forward on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.